today we're going to start a new series of teachings called Multiply. Now, I will tell you this, that in 2013, God gave me a theme. And I was to be honest with you, I'm not really much on big yearly themes. Some people are. I'm not against that. Sometimes I think they get kind of cheesy, to be honest with you. You know, we're going to be set free in 2003. We're leaving all behind in 2009. We're all going to heaven in 2011. Amen. And you know, what do you do with 2015? They're in trouble if they're a rhymers. But anyway, I've really never been big on big themes. I've always had new series to start the year off and had direction where I feel like God was taking us. But I've never really been big on big themes. Now, in 2013, though, God spoke to me very clearly and said that 2013 is a year of breaking new ground. And we spent a lot of time in 2013 talking about breaking up new ground, tilling up the rough spots in our lives, tilling up the hard places and allowing God to soften them. And it was actually during that time in 2013 that we actually acquired the new property that we have now. We're really close to getting it paid off. We'll be giving an update here really soon. We're going to have that paid off here the first part of this year. Yeah, amen. You got a hand. That's a big thing. We had property that we were trying to get, and it was not coming together. And then out of the blue in 2013, God worked it out where we got the property, got favor, and got it for a lot less than we had planned on. And God just did a great, great miracle there. And then in 2014, after we did the year of staying planted, and breaking ground, we did in 2014, staying planted. And we talked about how God said, I want you now to teach on staying planted. The reason why is that we have a different generation of people who are growing up now not understanding the power of staying planted in the things of God. That we're in a microwave generation, right? Come on now. We want it our way and we want it now, right? We want it quickly. And we're all about micro things real fast. We want everything quickly and we want microwave things. And we want things to come really fast. And we quickly want these things returned to us. And God spoke to me about how the blessing comes with those who stay planted. And we really taught about the power of being planted in a local church and being planted in the house of God and being planted in the things of God. How environment matters. Remember that? We spent a lot of time about the environment we surround ourselves will produce death or produce life in our life. And we spent a lot of time on staying planted. This year, God made it very clear. He gave me a 3-year direction. He said, the third year, I want you to speak on multiply. See, we break the ground, we plant the seed and stay planted, and then fruit comes, multiplication comes. And so I believe in my heart very clearly. I don't say this as some cheesy slogan. I don't believe in those, and you know me. If I don't hear the Holy Spirit speaking, I'm not going to say it, okay? I would never do that to you. I promise you that. But if I tell you I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me, I can tell you very clearly I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me that this is a year of multiplication. That we're going to be producing fruit. We're going to be talking about and unfolding that word and that term throughout our teaching here at the first of the year quite a bit, looking at how do we prepare ourselves to be multiplied? How do we prepare ourselves for God to multiply in our life? For many of you here, you've gone through that season, like I talked about a while ago, of treading water, and God is ready to multiply you in your life. I believe it very so. I want to pick up on the story in Luke chapter 9. The story of multiplication, we see Jesus talking here, and then I'm going to talk about some other things after we get through the story. But I want to start off in the story in Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. We see the story taking place where John the Baptist has just been beheaded, and Jesus has been teaching, doing miracles, disciples, and they're really stressed out. And so it's been a stressful time in Jesus' ministry. And so he says, hey, guys, let's get away. Let's get some time of rest. And it says that he sent his disciples away, and they went away to get a time of rest. But when they got to where they were going to rest, that the multitude heard he was coming and followed him, and they were waiting for him. And he's like, man, you kind of feel sorry for the guy. We kind of really do at this point. Think, you know, here's Jesus, can't even get a break. But look what happened here. He's out there teaching. He's doing miracles. Scripture says he was teaching, doing miracles all day long. And then it says, pick it up in verse 10, when the day began to wear away, the 12 disciples came to him saying, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. So we see this story is told 4 times in Scripture. We see it's one of the only stories we see that's told in all 4 of the Gospels. The story where Jesus feeds the 5,000, where he takes the loaves and the fish of the little boy and he multiplies it out. And so this is what's happening here is the disciples are like, Jesus, it's getting late. Everything in town is going to be closed. These people got a long ways to travel. They're not going to get any food. You know, we're getting ourselves painted into a corner here. Who's going to take care of all them? Because we know how you like to delegate, Jesus. And you're going to put us in charge of all these people. And you better get them out of here. So this is kind of what's happening here. And look what Jesus' response is. I love this response. It's going to hit us right between the eyes today. It says, Jesus says, you give them something to eat. That's powerful. We're going to come back to that in just a second. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. One of the other stories says they got it from a little boy. It says, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men there. Now, they're estimating here there was 5,000 men, and not including women and children. So many estimated anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 people were probably present at this time. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50 people. Here we go. I know he's going to make us organize this thing. They're already thinking, here we go. Jesus delegating us. We're getting organized here. I love it that Jesus is organized. Nothing wrong with that. And he did so and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And look what he did. Looking to heaven, he did what? He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it to them. The disciples were set before the multitude. So that they ate and were filled. 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Jesus did what? He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it. Let me quickly give you 3 things about the story. I want to give you 3 quick observations. Number one, Jesus asked his disciples to give. He asked us to give. I will tell you, one of the things that irritates me the most as a pastor, that can irritate me the most, is that when people come and bring people who have needs to me, when they have the means to meet the needs themselves. Because this is why I want you to realize that Jesus is looking to you to be the miracle that somebody needs. Let's just take them to Pastor Gene, and Pastor Gene, he can supply their needs, and God can do a miracle through Pastor Gene. And we're missing the concept here that Jesus says this, hey, you be the miracle. You be the miracle that somebody needs in your life. That God's wanting to use you to be that miracle. Well, I don't have a lot. Welcome to the club. But what do you have? This is what I love. This is what would happen. You know, we don't have a lot. But God wants to use you. He wants to use you to be the miracle. And this is what we have taught from day one at Destiny Church. And I continue to tell you today is that the Destiny Church is not built around some mega leader, some guy who's the guru. Listen, God answers my prayers, but he wants to answer your prayers just as much as my prayers. He says the ABCs of the faith is that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That we can cast out evil spirits and they shall flee. That's you and me. That's not just the pastor. He says, we have the power to believe. You have this power within you that God wants to use you to be the miracle your school needs. That God wants to use you to be the miracle your family needs. God wants to use you to be the miracle your friends need. If I can just give them to Pastor Gene. I'm like, no, you're missing it. I'm here to support you and to help you and to counsel you. But God has called the pastors to equip us to do the work of the ministry. God wants you to be the miracle. He looks at the disciples and says, you feed them. Can you imagine? They're like, whoa, us feed them. But it's the concept that he's wanting you and I to realize he wants to use you and I for the miracle. And if you ever want to be multiplied out in your life, you're going to have to learn to say, God, I want to be a person who gives in my life. I got to learn to give it. Because number two, we see in the story, the second quick point is it don't seem like much, really. You know, two fish, a couple sardines, and a couple crackers here, or loaves of pieces of bread, whatever, you know. Ain't a lot going far here. This is not going very far. Doesn't seem like a lot. Pastor, can you buy my friend some groceries? I would buy him groceries, but I've only got enough to last for 4 days, and I don't have enough to give. Well, how about you split your groceries with them and let God do a miracle in both of your lives? What? You can believe God for me to do a miracle in their life. Why can't you believe God for you to be the miracle? And then set yourself up that God can multiply in your life because you're saying, God, I'm learning to be a giver. I'm learning to be a giving person. I'm learning to be the person God wants me to give. What I have. God wants to use me for the blessing. And when I set myself up to be the giver, and then I'm setting myself up to be multiplied. It doesn't seem like much, and it won't. I love that the fact that Jesus uses a little boy in the story, because in Scripture we see many times in this day, society, children are not thought very highly of. And remember Jesus rebuking his disciples and the leaders around them when they were trying to shoo away the children? He said, no, don't chase them away. Bring them to me. Let me bless them. Matter of fact, he told his disciples before he is descended, remember before he descended, what did he say? He says, hey, Pete, if you love me, feed my lamb. No, not sheep. He said lambs. Go back and read it. He did say sheep, but look how many times he said lambs versus sheep. He said lambs a lot more often than he said sheep. He was really into us taking care of our little ones. And he values children. I love what Skyler said the other day. Our church is 100% good. That was great. I love that because our children are getting it. They may not know and articulate everything that's coming, but they sense that God's in the house and God is good. Our children are much more spiritually in tune than we are many times. I'll just tell you that very much right now. I've been told many times when I was growing up that I would say things spiritual that I had no idea what I was saying. I was like, God, you mean this, you know? They're like, yeah. One time my grandpa was taking me, he was away from God. They said, I was like 3 years old, and he stopped at the stop sign, and my grandpa kind of ran through the stop sign, and he thought I was going to, I said, Grandpa! And he thought I was going to get on to him for not coming to a complete stop. I said, God said he wants you to get right with him, and he wants you to give your heart to God. And my grandpa started crying. He got back into church the next week, and I had no idea. I said that. I was so young. It was the Holy Spirit using me as a little child. Didn't even know what was happening. You know, I was just playing with Legos. I didn't worry about anything, you know. But I'm telling you, God wants to use the children, and we're raising up a generation of children that God wants to use. I'm going to tell you that right now. And so we believe in that. But God used this child as an example that the child gave willingly, you know. The adults would have been, hey, there's only enough for me and my family. There's only enough lunch for me. But this child gives up his lunch willingly to Jesus. Or maybe the disciples pried it out of his hands. I don't know. But either way, Jesus takes this and he multiplies it. Now we see the pattern for multiplication in the next, in point number 3. It says that Jesus blessed them, broke them, and then gave them. He blessed them, he broke them, and he gave them. He took the loaves and the fish that were there. He blessed them, he broke them, then he gave them. See the pattern. He blesses them, he breaks them, then he gives them. See, in our life, I believe if you want to be multiplied in your life, we all go through a season of blessing. We receive the Lord. We receive of his empowerment. We receive his grace, his mercy. We're enlightened of our relationship with him. We're walking this season of this honeymoon with God. And then we go through a season of being broken. And after we're broken, then God can give us. I truly believe this, that in order for God to multiply in our life, there's got to be a season of brokenness. I truly believe that. I've gone through seasons of being broken in my life when, boy, I tell you, I really wanted to just throw in the towel. I did not like what I was going through. I didn't like the people that was putting me through it. I didn't like what was happening. I've gone through seasons of being broken, of feeling like giving up. But I would not be the pastor I am today if I had not walked through the seasons of being broken. See, God used me to be broken. Now he could give me out to be more effective. Are you following me here? Because some of you right now, and last year, you walked through a season of brokenness in your life. Broken marriages, broken dreams, broken promises, broken vision. Feeling like you're just treading water. I say you're in good shape. Because God could be setting you up to be the best blessing you've ever been in your life. Because out of the brokenness, God can then give us. See, there's something about this pattern of a blessed, broken, and given. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. He gave it. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it. It's the same pattern we see in Jesus' life. The Father blessed his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My anointing is upon him. He blessed his Son. Then he had to be broken on the cross. Then after the resurrection, he gave him to the world to be redeemed for the sins of mankind. Wow. It's a pattern in our life, that multiplication that comes when we're blessed and we're broken and we're given. blessed, broken, and given. I want you to get that because, you see, in order for us to get through those seasons of multiplication, there's got to become a broken time. And sometimes it doesn't happen the way we want it to. Sometimes the broken season comes through something that was really tragic in our marriage or in our life. It really humbles us. And there's a reason why God humbles us. Scripture says that God resists the what? God resists the what? Let's say it again. God resists the, but he exalts the humble. See, he always brings us to a place of humbleness before he can multiply in our life. And let's be honest. Most of us here, we're full of pride. I've had pride issues in my life. You've had pride issues in life. Let's don't act like we don't, okay? None of us here are perfect, including myself. And so, but in order for God to use us to the full extent he wants to use us, we've got to learn to say, God, I'm getting rid of that pride. I got to learn to get rid of my pride and say, God, I want to be used. And it comes to being broken. When you're broken, man, you don't care. You've been there? I don't care what people think of me. I don't care what anybody else thinks of me the rest of my life. God, I don't really care. I'm past my reputation. I'm past what people think. I'm tired of trying to please people. I'm tired of trying to keep up what people think of me. God, I am broken. I just want more of you, and I want to be effective in the kingdom of God or whatever that takes. See, when we're broken, God can elevate and multiply in our life. It's a pattern we see, this brokenness. And so what we're going to be doing here over the next 21 days starting tomorrow is what I'm calling a church-wide fast for those who would like to join us. This is not the first time we've done this. We've done it for several years here at Destiny Church. Fasting is a spiritual principle that we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a spiritual principle that had been forgotten for many years, but over the last 5 or 6 years, it seems like there's a revival of fasting beginning to take place, people having a full understanding of it again, studying it out again, the church moving towards seasons of fasting to position ourselves, saying, God, we want to break ourselves so that we can be multiplied. We want to start fresh and anew. And this is not something that you have to do. If you say, Pastor, I don't understand this completely. I think I'll sit this one out and watch you guys. That's okay. No one's going to talk bad about you. No one's going to think any less of you. But I believe, listen to me, I believe one of the biggest problems we have in America's church today is nobody challenges anybody to grow up spiritually anymore. That's right. Thank you for those two claps right there. Amen. I believe we got to challenge each other to put on our big boy pants. Get out of your underoos. Come on now. It's time to get on your big boy pants and say, all right, God, let's take on some bigger things in you. I've conquered going to church every week, well, at least 3 out of 4 weeks. And, you know, now there's some other spiritual disciplines that God wants you to try and to grow in your life. And so I'm challenging you, those of you who like a challenge, to join us on a 21-day fast. Now, I'm going to be talking about that and what that means, but let me give you a couple of scriptures just to back this up. We see in the first scripture here in Mark chapter 9, we see the story where disciples were trying to deliver this boy who had been demon-possessed, and he was throwing himself in the fire, and they couldn't get it done, and Jesus comes and rebukes it, remember, and he sends the spirits away to the swine, all that thing, okay. Afterwards, they came to Jesus, and he said, Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, and they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? Because you've given us the power, and we've done it before, but why in this case did it not work? And Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by what? Prayer and fasting. See, sometimes you have things in our life, we have power, we've been given spiritual authority, you've heard me teach on spiritual authority in this church. I believe that God has given us spiritual authority, and we can walk in that spiritual authority, but sometimes you flex your spiritual muscles and you're not getting anywhere. It's kind of like when you go to the gym after you've been working out for a long time. You lose some weight and you get stronger, but you kind of hit seasons of, you know, where you kind of plateau. You ever been there? When you've done well, but you're not quite getting over the hump that you want to get over. You kind of plateau out. It takes something. You got to change some things up. You got to change your diet. You got to change your exercise routine. Maybe get a different trainer, go to a different gym, get some different equipment. But something's got to change in order for you to get the next breakthrough. Sometimes spiritually, there's things in our life we're praying about. We're not seeing breakthrough in our life. Spirits that we, or maybe backing up, but keep coming back to us. You know what I mean? We kind of push them back a little bit, but they come back and they won't leave us alone. He says these kind of spirits, sometimes it can only come because we don't have enough power in our prayer and fasting. Sometimes you got to flex your muscles, spiritual muscles, and gain a little bit and say, all right, God, I'm getting serious about this one. I'm tired of my family dealing with this issue over and over again. I'm tired of my marriage dealing with this issue over and over again. My children, my health, whatever it is, it seems to be stepping up in your face all the time. You can't get a break through that. I dare you to begin to fast and pray about it and see if it doesn't increase the anointing to defeat that thing in your life. He says only this kind came through prayer and fasting. Matthew 4:1, we see where Jesus was getting ready for his public ministry, and it says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. So Jesus fasted. Everybody say, Jesus fasted. Now this is why this is important. Because if there ever was in the history of time one person who didn't need to fast, it would have been Jesus, right? Come on, let's be real. Come on, the Son of God. He was fully God and fully man. If there was ever one person who walked this earth who didn't need to fast, it would have been Jesus. But the fact that he didn't just fast 21 days, he fasted no food or water for 40 days and nights. That's right. Let's make it very clear. The fact that he did that, how much does that more tell you that you and I need the power of fasting in our life? How much more do you and I need to learn the spiritual discipline of fasting things in our life? We're going to talk more about this kinds of fast in just a minute. But I love this story in Matthew 9 because it really tells us why we're fasting. Besides the increased power to break some spirits or not break in our life, we also see in Matthew 9, 14 through 17, the story of one day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do? I love this story because I'm thinking, they're watching, they're like, all right, Jesus, your disciples are getting like 12 baskets of leftovers. They're eating all the time. Look at Peter. He can barely fit in his robe. You're like changing the water to wine. You're giving bread from heaven. Man, you're giving, man. This his disciples were eating really good. Now, John the Baptist's disciples, he was making them eat honey, locusts, and fasting. They're like, time out. Wait a minute. Why did you guys get to do that? And we're over here fasting with John. I think it's kind of humorous when you really think about it. So anyway, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? And Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, talking about his disciples, and then they will fast. He was saying, hey, I'm here with them present now. They don't need to pray for more of me. I'm right here. So I'm with them. I'm empowering them. I'm teaching them, giving them revelation. But there's going to come a time when I leave, they're going to need to pray for more of me and more of my spirit, more of my power, more of my revelation. So there'll come a time they will fast, okay? And then he follows the story up by this. He says, besides, who would patch the old clothing with the new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving even a bigger tear than before. And he goes, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Of course, we know this is the principle they practiced this day. When they formed the pouch, while it was soft and pliable, they would pour the wine in. So while it fermented, while it took pressure and shape, that the leather would expand with it, and then eventually it would harden into the container it needed to be. It would grow with it as it grew. And instead, if you try to pour the new wine back into an old container, that when it expanded, that the container would shatter because it was not made to hold the new wine. And he says, all right, so fasting does what? He's teaching about fasting. He goes, they don't need to fast right now because I'm with them, but there's going to come a day they will fast. He goes, and when they fast, what happens? He says, you're making yourself as a new wineskin. See, this is what fasting does. Fasting prepares us to receive the newness from God. See, some of us are trying. This is the problem. We're taking our old wineskin. We're taking our old ways, our old habits, our old attitudes, our old prayer habits, our old worship. We're taking all these things we've been doing for years. We're saying, God, I want something new from you, but we're never changing our vessel to receive the new wine that comes from God. And fasting does it. Let me put it in terms you can understand. Okay, you ready? Write this down. This is really life-changing. Are you ready? It's really theological. It's really deep. Fasting gets rid of all the junk.
That's what happens. Fasting gets rid of all the junk. It helps us to refocus. Let's be honest. Life gets busy. And we get sidetracked. And we form habits daily that slowly squeeze out our time with God. That take away our focus. That get us sidetracked. And we've slowly, over time, we cut more and more out of our schedule and make less time for God in our life. But yet, we want more of God, but we cut less time. So fasting says, God, no, no, no. I want to get back and put you at the center of my desire. I want to get refocused in. I want to cut some things out of my life and prepare myself to receive the new wine this year. And so we believe in new beginnings. We believe in seasons of starting fresh, and the start of the calendar year, the first month of the year. What a better time to say, God, I'm going to take a time to refocus in upon you that I can receive something new of you this year. How many want God to do something new in your heart this year? Are you wanting that? Come on, give God a hand if you believe that right now. So I'm going to talk about a 21-day challenge. I'm challenging you because I believe you need to be challenged. Let me tell you this. Christianity is not for spiritual wimps. It's not for spiritual wimps. Sometimes you gotta man up. You got to woman up. And say, all right, I'm going to take a challenge. And I'm challenging you today to grow in your walk with God by taking this 21-day challenge. I'm going to ask you to pick a fast that will challenge you. Now, I'm going to tell you something today that you may not agree with, and that's okay. I told the first service this, and I'm going to tell you as well, that you know me, those of you who have attended here for a long time, you know I do my very best to follow Scripture and interpret as clear as I can. I try not to bring in what mama taught me and what daddy taught me. I really want to make sure that when I teach something that I've got Scripture to back it up, and I'm doing my very best to interpret that as clearly as possible and stick with that. I'm saying, well, I felt this, and so I'm telling you this, you know, because this is the way I was raised. And I want to make sure I'm very clear that when we teach, that I'm teaching directly out of the Word of God, Scripture to back it up, and teaching everything we have is backed up purely by Scripture. You know, if we do that here, we give a lot of Scripture when we teach, because we're very clear about backing up what we tell you with Scripture. And we try our best not to take it out of context. You know, we try our very best not to do that. And so what I'm going to tell you now is not taken out of context. It's my opinion. And if you don't agree with my opinion, that's okay. You won't offend me at all. You won't be the first person, and you won't be the last. That's okay. I've had better people than you not agree with me, so that's fine. That's all right. I'm just playing around. But seriously, if you disagree with me, it's okay. I give you freedom here. But I believe that fasting doesn't have to be just food. I believe that. Now, some people do believe that because they fasted food only in the Bible. And let me tell you why, and I'll tell you my reasons why, and you don't have to agree with me if you don't want to. That's fine. You're okay not to agree with me on this right here. But I believe in the biblical times that everything centered around the meal. I mean, think about that. I mean, they didn't go out to Sam's and buy in bulk and say, all right, we got our schedule planned for the next 60 days and what we're going to eat. Or even a week at a time. It was a daily thing. I mean, you couldn't just go to the freezer and pull out something and put it in the microwave or bake in the oven. You know, cooking meals was homemade from scratch. You know, things had to been done. The ladies spent all day making the meals. It was not something that was just done in 30 minutes or an hour. It was an all-day preparation. Many times they would get up in the middle of the night and start the preparation for the meals the next day. This was a big deal. And it wasn't like we all got together and watched our favorite show or listened to our favorite music. I mean, you're talking about when they came together, meal was the very much social event of the day. When people came together, they came with their work, their jobs, they come together and they had big meals and long meals. And this was the highlight of the day. So to give up eating, you're giving up probably the most biggest thing of that day. And of course, we know how important food is to us. But I believe that you can take a fast. I'm going to be personally giving up some food in my life. I'm giving up 21 days of no meat, no sugar, no bread. And if you look at me, you know I like those things, okay? Those are big to me. And so those things are big to me, and they make me big. But either way, I'm going to be kind of grumpy next week. I just tell you right now, I might be kind of grumpy. I'm going through my withdrawals, but I believe this really challenges me. And so I'm going to do that. But other people here have done other fasts besides food. They've given up social media. All social media. People have given up TV. Some have given up internet altogether. I mean, there's some people who've done some things that really, really challenge them. And this is where I'm asking you to do. Pick a fast that will challenge you. It should be something that challenges you.
For me, this is going to challenge me because I love meat and I love sugar. I really do. I do. You guys know me. I love those things. You just see me at the Cheesecake Factory yesterday. I was like, oh, God. Anyway, you know, it was like me having the Last Supper before I was going to the electric chair. Like, oh, God. 21 days. It was in mourning yesterday while I was eating that cheesecake, thinking about it. Okay. But it should be something that challenges you. What I'm saying is this. Don't sacrifice sugar if you're sugar diabetic, okay? I'm giving up sugar. Well, you're going to do that anyway. I'm giving up coffee when I don't drink coffee maybe once a week. But if you give 4 or 5 cups a day, maybe coffee would be a big challenge for you, okay? Are you following me? It should be something that challenges you where you say, God, I am taking this time serious. That's what it should say. God, this is serious to me. It's not something easy. It's something that really challenges me because I really do want more of you in my life. I really want to focus more of you in my life. I'm going to ask you to read one chapter a day. Just take the Bible. You can read the Bible. Of course, you say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of time. And listen, really today, we really have no excuses, do we? I mean, we got our smartphones, and they have Bible apps on there. Or at any time during the day, if I really want to go get a chapter, I can pull it up on my smartphone and read it right then. So find yourself waiting in the room or waiting to pick up the kids at school or somewhere on break. You can always pull your phone out and go right through that and read a chapter a day. So I'm asking you to read the Word of God for 21 days, one chapter a day. Any chapter you want to read is fine. If you've never read the Word of God before on a consistent basis, the pastor, I don't really know where to start. I've given you some books of the Bible to start in, Psalms, Proverbs, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those are all great places to start. Just start reading one chapter a day together. And then I've asked you to spend time every day praying. I'm not setting the time limit. I'm not saying you got to spend hours a day praying. You know, that's not what I'm asking you to do. But I want you to spend, in this 21 days, say every day I'm going to spend some time just refocusing my life on God, saying, God, this year I'm positioning myself to get more of you, to receive more of you, and to refocus myself back. God, forgive me for allowing other things to crowd you out of my schedule. God, help me to begin to make more room for you in my life and put you back at the top of who you are in my life. That's what we're praying, asking God not only to multiply, but put him back at the pinnacle, at the top of our life. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Maybe you're praying on your way to work when you drop the kids off and just you by yourself while you're driving. Keep your eyes open, but you can pray while you're driving as well. And then I've asked you to do this. Those of you who want to join me, listen to worship music only. For 21 days, worship or Christian music only. Okay, this is gonna be kind of hard for you because if you know me, you know I like 80s too. You know, my satellite radio's got 80s channel. It's got the country channel. It's got I got a little bit. I like a lot of different kinds of music besides just Christian music. I know that shocks you because you guys know how conservative I am as a pastor, but still, I like lots of music. I love hair bands. I love the whole thing, man. Believe it or not, I really do. And so this is what we're doing is this though. Sometimes we just come and say, God, I am taking away all outside distractions. I want to set the atmosphere. I want to set the atmosphere to get more of you and to hear your voice clearly. I tell you, this alone will even increase your desire for God. You'll see your day going smoother when you're getting ready in the morning. You know, just put it on Christian music or worship music. Or when you maybe listen to talk radio, turn that off and put on something else and say, God, I just want your spirit to flood this car while I'm driving today. And just allow, see if it doesn't change the atmosphere for 21 days and see what happens. Now, this is what we're going to do as well. As I close with the scripture right here in Matthew 6:16. Look what Jesus says. And when you fast, don't make it obvious. This is Jesus' words. It's like he knew exactly. He was talking to the selfie generation right here, wasn't he? Come on now. You can look at me right here. Watch me right here. You know exactly what I'm saying. He was speaking to us today. He was saying this, hey, you selfie generation, when you decide to fast, don't make it obvious. What do you mean, Pastor? It means this. Tomorrow morning when you get up, don't post a picture of you on Facebook. And you guys pray for me. I'm taking a 21-day challenge in my church, and I'm giving up this for 21 days. And I don't know if I've ever done this before, but I am being holy, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm breaking out the sweat though. I'm having caffeine withdrawal. Come on, you know about half of you in this room are already thinking about that post tomorrow before I ever said anything about that. Look at me, hallelujah, I'm fasting, you know. This is what he says. He says, this is not a social media trend, okay? Because you're going to see that because of so many people fasting and churches doing that now. You'll see people on Facebook tomorrow, I guarantee you. Well, I'm fasting this, and you know, and they're bragging about what they're fasting. He says, if you do that, if you're bragging or talking about how hard it is on public, he goes, look what happens. He says, you're a hypocrite. Well, they try to look miserable so people will admire them for the fasting. I tell you the truth. If you want the people to feel sorry for you or admire you for fasting, he says, that's the only reward you're going to get is that reward right there. But if you pick it up and say, you know what? All right, I'm going to fast and I'm going to be kind of cranky and I may not like it, but I'm going to do my best to smile. Look what he says. He says, take a shower, wash your face, comb your hair. He talks to us like junior hires, doesn't he? Did you brush your teeth? Did you comb your hair? Did you take a shower? That's what he's saying. Put yourself presentable. Don't walk out saying, oh. No, walk out saying, you know what? God, I'm expecting great things from you this year. God, I'm expecting you to do something great in this fast. God, I'm expecting you to answer prayers in this fast. I'm expecting you to give me the power to drive out some spirits that have been tormenting my family and me in this fast. God, I'm expecting you to increase, that I can be broken, that you can give me a way to be multiplied. I'm positioning myself to receive the new wine that you have for me. And so don't make it a big public thing. Now, if you know somebody who's fasting, if you know somebody who's fasting and they go to church with you here or at work or wherever, you know, maybe they're in your life group, maybe they're just a friend of yours or in one of the other ministries, it's all right. If both of you are fasting, say, all right, hey, let's talk about it. Let's keep each other accountable and let's encourage each other. Those things are okay. But don't be out there looking for everybody else to feel sorry for you, okay? No, keep it within the people who are fasting and talk to them. And let's encourage each other. So I actually encourage you to do that. Find somebody who's going to fast as well and say, hey, Can we keep each other accountable and encourage each other during this next 21 days and just check on each other? I highly encourage you to find somebody, if possible, to do that with. How many believe in that God's going to do something great in your life this year? You believe that? Amen? It's just 21 days to saying, God, I'm refocusing upon you. Just a time of refocusing, God. I'm just as we're coming this morning, and we're going to really say to God, God, I'm positioning myself. We're going to start tomorrow on Monday, and we're going to run for 21 days. If you guys are good, I might make it 20 and a half and let you off after church on that 21st day. Seems like God always speaks right after church that we're okay, you know. But we're going to go for those 21 days, and we're going to fast together as a church and just believe, God, this is the year of multiplication in our life. When I say multiplication, I'm not just talking about numerically. That's going to happen. We've been multiplying here at Destiny. We're growing. That's already happening. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual multiplication. Numbers are going to follow. That's always going to happen. But we're talking about a spiritual multiplication in our life. That God's wanting to bless us, break us, give us away. I'm ready to be given away like I never had before this year. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. See, Pastor, I'm ready to position myself this year. Can you raise your hands? That's me. I'm ready to position myself this year for the multiplication God has for my life. Yeah, thanks for being honest, guys. Hey, I'm going to invite you. If you would like to, we're going to close this song. It says, with everything we are, giving everything we are to God. I just want to make this a prayer. God, with everything, we give our life to you. With everything, we want to go after you. With everything, we want to take and put you right back at the top of where you belong in our lives. Refocusing ourselves on how big you are in our life. If you want to join us in the front, you're more than welcome to do that. But let's take it to the Lord today. Say, God, I want more of you in my life.
Come on, let me sing this out. With everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything, we will shout. Father, we give it to you today. We'll shout forth your praise.
Shout.
Now come on, let's give God some praise in this place. Come on, if you believe he's going to multiply us, let's give him praise.
Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over you today. I'm going to pray over you. Let me say this to you. As you partner up, let me remind you of one thing, though. God hasn't called you to be the fasting police, okay? You hear what I'm saying? God hasn't called you to be the fasting police. What I mean is this. When someone makes a fast, they're trying to make it, say, maybe your spouse or your friend tells you, hey, I'm giving up this. They'll come next week and say, Pastor Gene, my husband said he was giving up bread. And he had a crouton in his salad this week. You're not the fasting police, okay? That's between you and God. That's between them and God, okay? If you mess up one day, don't fucking blown it. Get back up the next day. Say, all right, God, I'm going to be strong and finish it, okay? So keep striving. Get up when you make a mistake. It's all right. Don't just give up when you have a weak moment, okay? Get up. You can do this. I believe in you. You can do this. So raise your hands. I want to pray for you today. God, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray over every person in this room. Lord, that this year would be a year of multiplication in their life. That you would grow and become so real to them in such a personal way. That God, they would see you beyond the God of religion, and they would see you as a personal relationship with you. That you want to grow and multiply in their life. That you want to take them beyond where they're at and take them to a different level of being used of you. That they can give their life away to you. We've all been broken. And now as we've been broken, prepare us now as we fast and we pray, repositioning ourselves, putting you back at the very top and center of our life, putting our priorities back in order, saying, God, you belong there. Forgive us, God, for moving you aside. Forgive us, God, for putting you down the ladder of priorities in our lives. And God, as we refocus on putting you back up high and exalted, may we now, Father, penetrate through the darkness that is trying to beset us, God, and keep us snared and trapped. And God, may we move beyond this now. This becomes a season of multiplication. And it starts right now. It starts right now. It starts right now of positioning ourselves and saying, God, we're putting away some things in our life to make more room for you in our life. And we say yes and amen. If you receive that word today, clap unto the Lord one more time. Give him a shout. Amen. Turn to give someone a high five and say, are you ready? God bless you. Thank you so much for being here.